Appreciate so much our choir and the children's choir and those who narrated, Jason and Sandy. What a blessing. You know, it was particularly a blessing to me about that cantata was that every word that you heard was the Word of God. It was the Scripture read to us, pointing our attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to take a few moments here to do that for us just a little bit more. If you have a Bible with you, I'd encourage you to open it to the Gospel of Matthew, the very beginning of our New Testament. I'm going to read a handful of verses here and then just turn our attention to a few thoughts from one particular verse that I think relates to that which we have considered here through the cantata this morning. I'm going to read here in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 down through 23. Matthew says, verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. When as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, was not willing to make her a public example, was of the mind to put her away privately. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we pray that just in these few moments, You would draw our attention to this passage of Scripture. Tells us that this little baby born in a manger is Emmanuel, God with us. I pray, Father, that You would open our hearts and minds to that truth. That You would minister in our hearts that which is needful for Your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Verse 23 again says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child." Here, Matthew is quoting from the prophet Isaiah. Says that virgin shall bring forth the son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And I want to just draw our attention to three things briefly from the last part of that verse. And the first is this: what is the significance of that name Emmanuel? In verse 21, Joseph is told to name the baby Jesus, which is the name we might think of in the Old Testament as Joshua, and it just simply means Jehovah is salvation or Jehovah saves. So that's what he's told to name this little baby. But then a few verses later, we're told that they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. This is a clear statement that Jesus is God. There are those who might say, well, he's a great prophet. Indeed, he's that, but he's more than that. There are those who might say that he is a man who believed in what he stood for and was willing to die for it. Certainly that's true, but more than that. Because this text and many others tell us that he is, as our cantata was entitled, "The Lord of Glory." He is God with us. That's what Emmanuel means. God who is close to us. God who is with us. It's like what we read at the beginning of the Gospel of John, which says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. A dozen or so verses later, it says, "And that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We will at this Christmas time oftentimes sing the hymn called "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," written by a man named Charles Wesley back in the mid-1700s. In the second stanza, the latter part of it, Wesley wrote this: "Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, divinity made flesh, pleased as a man with men to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King." the significance of that name, Emmanuel, just what it says, God with us. Second question I would have for us is, why did Matthew choose to interpret or translate that for us? It says, they shall call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now, those of you that are a part of our assembly, we started not long ago a study through the book of Mark. You'll remember that I mentioned to us that Mark was a gospel written primarily to Romans. That's who Mark's intended audience was. Obviously, many others read it, but that's kind of what his focus, his frame of reference was. Luke's frame of reference was the Greeks, but Matthew's was the Jews. And as Matthew wrote to Jews, they surely would have known what Emmanuel meant. They surely would have been familiar with that prophecy from Isaiah, and yet Matthew chooses to say, they shall call His name Emmanuel, which, being interpreted, being translated, which means God with us. And I got to thinking about, I wonder why Matthew chose to do that. And I would suggest to us two things. One is, for that Jewish audience, it would just remind them afresh. It would be as if he said, they shall call His name God with us, which means God with us. Just to make it very, very clear to them that this indeed was the promised Messiah, God coming down to rule and reign over them, God to be among them and with them, just as all the Old Testament predicted. But I think especially as Matthew wrote, he wanted to make it clear that Emmanuel was not only God with those who knew what it meant, but God with all of us. It'd be intended for the Gentiles. There may be among us a few who are of Jewish heritage, and what a blessing to have that great heritage. But for most of us, we're Gentiles. We're those who are apart from the house of Israel. In Ephesians, Paul says this, wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, that in that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes, who were formerly afar off, are made nigh, drawn near by the blood of Christ. When Jesus came as God with us, He came to draw near to us, to draw near to all of us. You know, folks, it doesn't matter what your ethnic heritage is. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or if you're Gentile. It doesn't matter if you're young or old. It doesn't matter what your educational background is. It doesn't matter what your religious background is. It doesn't matter what your occupation is. It doesn't matter what your social strata is. All that matters is that you recognize that Jesus is the promised Son of God. And He came here to be with us. God with us. Charles Wesley says this in the first stanza of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Joyful, all ye nations rise. Join the triumph of the skies. See, Wesley recognized that when the promises were made of old to Abraham, we're told that that promised Messiah in him would all the nations of the earth be blessed. And so, folks, whoever you are, whatever your background, Jesus came for you. He came for me. He's God with us. The third question that I would have for us is, who are the they that will call His name Emmanuel? It's interesting, if you go back to Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, and I'll not have you turn there, but that's the passage that Matthew quotes from. And Isaiah 7:14 says this, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Okay, so this is Isaiah speaking to King Ahaz. He was a king of Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel, and they were under some pressure at that time. And so Isaiah makes this prophecy, and he says, behold, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. Now, if you read that sentence the way it's written in the original prophecy there, it says that it's the virgin who bears a son. It's the virgin who conceives. It's the virgin who calls His name Emmanuel. And yet, when Matthew renders that and applies it to us, he says, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a child, and they shall call His name Emmanuel. So I got to thinking, so who's they? We talk a lot about they. In the workplace, it's they that make you have to rework that process. Young people in our school say, they didn't let us go outside for recess. If you look out on a snowy morning, you might say, they haven't plowed the streets yet. When I was a Navy officer, I used to tell our younger officers, you know what, we're they. We don't talk about they and them, it's us. But here it says, they shall call Him Emmanuel. And we wonder, so who is they? Well, let me tell you who they is not. They is not those who would say that Jesus is not God. Because it says, they shall call His name Emmanuel, God with us. So they is certainly not those who say that Jesus is not God. And they is not those who would say that Jesus is not fully man as well as God, because He was born in a fleshly body. And that little baby grew very much into be a human man, yet a perfect, sinless one, but a man nonetheless. And yet at the same time, God with us. So they is not those who would deny that Jesus is God. They is not those who would deny that Jesus is at the same time fully man. But I would suggest that they refers to those who turn in faith to the real Jesus as predicted in the Bible. To the one who was born of a virgin. To the one who lived a sinless life. To the one who suffered under Pontius Pilate and was crucified. And He was put in the grave. And 3 days later, He rose again. And He is even at this moment seated at the right hand of His Father, where He ever lives to pray for you and me. And His greatest concern for you and me is that we would turn to Him in saving faith. They shall call His name Emmanuel. They are those who come to Jesus and are washed clean from their sins, who are forgiven because they have believed in Him. They are those who believe the text of Romans 6:23 that says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, at Christmas time, many of us exchange gifts. We send cards and we express our appreciation. We do that freely and willingly. The Bible says there in Romans 6:23 that eternal life is a gift from God. It's not by the works of righteousness that we have done. It's not by anything that we can do or add. It's because of what the Lord Jesus has done. And they who say this man is God with us, they who believe on this Jesus have recognized that we can't save ourselves, but it is what He has done for us. John Newton, who was the writer of that amazing song, Amazing Grace, when he was near the end of his 82 years of life, said this, "My memory's nearly gone, but I remember two things, that I am a great sinner and that Christ is a great Savior." Folks, we need to remember that I'm a great sinner. Whether I know you or not, I can say on the authority of the Word of God that you're great sinners too. But we have a great Savior, the Lord Jesus, God with us, who came to this earth in human form so that He could die on a cross to pay the penalty, not just for most of my sins, but for all of my sins. And if I will turn to Him in faith and dependence, my sins will be forgiven. I'm reminded of the verse, one of the narrators quoted it earlier, from 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. Where Paul says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." My wife pointed out to me yesterday a little excerpt from a devotional we have written by a guy named J. Sidlow Baxter. It's called Awake My Heart, and it's just a great, stirring, one-page devotional day by day. And the devotional for yesterday, Baxter talks about the story from some years ago where there was a man, a maintenance man, working on the roof of the Crystal Palace in London. And he had been burdened for a number of days about his soul and about his eternal destiny, and it was a concern to him. And all of a sudden there was a voice as if out of heaven that rang out and said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And the man said, "That's what I need, the Lord Jesus who died for my sins." And right there on the roof of that place, accepted the Lord as a Savior. Now you say, where did that voice come from? I've never heard a verse. You know where that voice came from? In those days, they didn't have, I've got a mic here and we've got an amplification system. They did not have that. And in that palace was a gentleman named Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who was preparing to preach in a service, a special service there at the Crystal Palace. And there was nobody around, and he was just in there kind of checking out the acoustics. And so he proclaimed that verse, not even knowing that there was a man on the roof listening. And God used just that text of Scripture to open that man's eyes, where he said, "I see that I am a sinner. And Christ Jesus, God with us, came to this earth to pay the penalty for my sin." Folks, it's that simple. The man didn't run down and get baptized necessarily. He didn't do something. He just believed. He recognized he was a sinner. He recognized that Christ came, God with us, to pay the penalty for his sins. And he looked to God in faith, and he believed and said, "Lord, I know I'm a sinner. You're a great Savior. Would you receive me as your child?" And folks, that same thing can be true of you this morning. You're here today and you have never received the Lord Jesus. God with us. Jehovah is salvation. The King of kings and Lord of lords. The Lord of glory who left heaven's throne to come down and live on this earth and then to die and pay the penalty for your sins and mine. If you've never done that, He died for your sins too. And I would encourage you to turn to Him in saving faith. Ask Him to forgive your sins. Ask Him to receive you as His child. And you know, He'll do that. And as you do that, you pass from death into life. You receive that gift of God, eternal life, forgiveness, salvation. The last stanza, or the third stanza of Hark the Herald Angels Sing, middle of it says this, "Mild He lays His glory by. Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth." Hark, the herald angels sing, "Glory to the newborn King." 1 John 4:9 says, "In this was made known the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." God wants to give us new life. God wants to give you new life. Whatever your background, wherever you've been, where God has brought you to this point, if you have not received Christ as your Savior, if you don't know for sure that your sins are forgiven, if you don't know for sure that if you were to die, that you have eternal life, not because of what you have done, but because of what the Lord Jesus has done. If you've never done that, let me encourage you to trust in Him today. We sang there right at the end, that last stanza from Once in Royal David City, "And our eyes at last shall see Him through His own redeeming love. For that child so dear and gentle is the Lord in heaven above. And He leads His children on to the place where He has gone." Folks, He is the Lord of glory. He left the glories of heaven. Came to die for your sins and mine. And He's returned now to the glories of heaven where He waits to receive those unto Himself who have trusted in Him. He wants us to be with Him forever. Emmanuel, God with us. I ask you to stand to your feet if you would. Heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to have a word of prayer and then just a brief time of invitation, opportunity for you to respond to the truths of God's Word. Our Father, we are thankful for the music that we have been ministered to by this morning. Thank You for the gift of music, how it stirs our heart, how it opens our eyes to the beauty of holiness, the beauty of our Savior. Thank You for these many texts of Scripture that were read to us this morning. Just portray for us that understanding that that little baby born in Bethlehem indeed is the Lord of glory and who came to die for us. We're thankful that He is God with us. And I pray, Father, now during this time of invitation that Your Spirit would work in hearts and lives. If there are some here that have never trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior, they don't know for sure that their sins are forgiven, they have eternal life. The gift is offered to them. Father, would You open their hearts and minds to believe, to trust, to depend upon You wholly, not on anything they can add or do. Lord, for God's people, for those who have been born again, who know You as Savior, pray that You would stir hearts, that we might more faithfully proclaim glorious truth, that the Lord Jesus is God with us. He is the Savior. He is the Lord of glory. I ask that Your Spirit would move now in this time of invitation. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.